Matt Musin and Dominique James are here. They're both teaching artists with Young Chicago Authors. They are both, you know, proud graduates of the Young Chicago Authors complex. What do you call? I know Louder Than a Bomb started. We're now in the midst of the latest Louder Than a Bomb, and I'm leaving it blank because I know it's known as a competition, but I never. And I know people win and people lose, but I hate to think of it as a competition. How would you two characterize a Louder Than a Bomb experience? Louder Than a Bomb? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Think about it and give me a word.
I think officially right now it's Louder Than a Bomb, the festival.
Not bad.
We've moved from competition. It's a festival now with all sorts of events. But I definitely like Louder Than a Bomb. The experience fits because it's a whole like physical, emotional thing that is consistent kind of throughout the festival. No matter where you're at, I'm at Loud and a Bomb. You kind of feel it in your body. So I think experience captures it pretty well.
And Matt, the experience, as one who has been through it, the experience is one thing for the youth performers who are up there in teams and individually reading their own work.
Yeah.
I've never done that, and I gotta believe it's incredibly exciting. But talk to me for a second about how exciting you think it must be for the audience, because that's where people are jumping out of their seats.
I think for an audience member, like today, we had a bout where these people from Colorado, and they had never been there. They had never been to LTI before, and I think it's like. I think it's shock almost, like, whoa, like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. That's how I was the first time I saw it, which was last year. I was just like, what? Like, what? This is a thing, and there's so many people. And then I think even deeper, there's like this, there's a lot of heart in the room. Like, you're hearing people tell their real stories, youth tell their real stories. And so I think the audience is always like, their heartstrings are getting pulled at, but also they're like, yo, this is so cool. Like, I ain't never seen nothing like this.
I think it's also true for, have you competed, Dominique?
Yes, I competed all 4 years of high school.
Describe, you went to Walter Payton High School, good high school, and Howard University, and now you're back teaching here. What was it, were you initially, when you went on the Louder Than a Bomb team in school, were you at all initially reluctant?
No, I was actually pretty fired up. So I found out about Louder Than a Bomb right before I went to high school. And I was like, oh, that is what I want to do. So I went into it very excited. Not entirely sure of what it was, but intrigued nonetheless. And then get to it. And I was just super duper enthusiastic about it. There was no kind of hesitance or anxiety. It was something I was very excited about, the idea of performing and meeting people.
Did you perform with a team or individually?
With a team. So I performed with my school, Walter Payton, then eventually a community organization called U Media.
Mm-hmm. Matt, how did you come to YCA?
So, like I told you, I was making music.
I was kidnapped. Kevin Coble kidnapped.
Yeah, Kevin was like, actually.
He beat me in the head and just chucked me in a car.
Yeah. There you go. So in 2015, I was in school, but I was making music all the years I was in college. And I was coming back to Chicago some summers. And so when I would be in the city, I was looking for places to kind of get my music off. Like, I need people to hear my raps.
Yep.
So one of my friends told me about Wordplay, which is a Tuesday program that YCA has. And I started going to Wordplay. Tried to go faithfully, didn't really work, but when I went, I like made the most of it. And then the semester when I was graduating, I ran into Kevin. He actually had long hair because he was like working on a book, and he was like locked up in a he locked himself in a room somewhere in like
it's
Texas
a good
or something
book,
like that.
Though, the People's History of Chicago.
Yeah, it's a really
it
good
was
book.
Worth growing
but
long
he,
hair.
Yeah, he was like, "Yo, yeah, I'm working on this book, but when you graduate, let me know what's up, and let's talk." And then there was an opening for a position. I applied, and it worked out. And,
wow, that's great. We got to take a break. I'm keeping these nice. Folks here, my latest Young Chicago Author, Louder Than a Bomb pals, because I've had a lot of them over the years.
Pals, I like
Matt
that.
Muse, huh? Pals,
I like that.
Matt Muse and Dominique James. They're both teaching artists and Young Chicago Authors, and Young Chicago Authors, the centerpiece, the big deal of Young Chicago Authors is the Louder Than a Bomb experience, which is taking place now. There was one last night. I will tell you where the others are. And the team finals that I have seen at the Chicago Theater are one of, if not the most interesting Chicago event. Mm-hmm. It's not crazy. Just spoken word. It's not about music. It is theatrical, but it also will give you a sense of what people feel right now in this time, in this place. We got to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Chicago Knows Best, right? Hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best. I am sitting here with two very talented and very smart young people. Matt Muse, a teaching artist at Young Chicago Authors. He's a graduate of Morgan Park and NIU, and he's a rapper. He released his debut project, Sick Tape, last year, went on a cross-country tour. Kevin Koval says he is a fantastic educator and performer, but we both know not to totally trust everything Kevin Koval says. And that lovely laugh is from Dominique James, who is a proud graduate of Walter Payton High School and Howard University, and is a, Kevin, according to Kevin now, this is Kevin Koval talking, a gifted maker and a scholar. Both. Kevin Koval, a man who took over Young Chicago Authors and runs it now, and is a co-founder of Louder Than a Bomb, the live poetry experience in which we are in the middle of. There were some semifinals tonight at Joe Shanahan's Metro. There are some indie. The indie finals are at Soul City Church on the 16th. The team final takes place at the Auditorium Theater on March 18th, and I think if the three of us spent the next hour trying to describe to you what it is like to be at a team final, we would fail, because it is one of the most exuberant, extraordinary events in Chicago. Let me ask the two of you, with all the changes, you heard some poets tonight, with the changing landscape of this country, I think especially in the last year, have you noticed a change? Are the works angrier? Are they more female-centric? Are they, you know, many of the poems, because they are by younger people, many are about love, many are about the feelings, because we're all coping. But you guys are all coping with things like that. But the political landscape and the city landscape and the murder and the danger in the city, have you felt that it infused the poetry in a harder, harsher way, or even a more hopeful way?
I think the coolest part about Louder Than a Bomb is the stage it provides for people to tell their truths. And I think the students who participate in Louder Than a Bomb, they've already been awake to the political landscape. They were the prophets of it before everyone else realized. The subject matter, I think, has been fairly consistent. Yeah. It's just the names and the places that change. It's always been kind of this very intelligent, kind of nuanced analysis of what's happening. And you get some love poems sprinkled in there. You get a lot of happy poems, some funny poems. But this commentary, what's happening, I think, has been fairly consistent throughout. Mm-hmm. Even just thinking about the origins of Louder Than a Bomb, what Louder Than a Bomb was meant to be, to respond to, to really empower folks to tell their truths and kind of circumnavigate the marginalization that a lot of these students already encounter. Those are their lived experiences. Mm-hmm. Just, it's now only getting airtime, you know, in dominant media forms.
Yep. That is so true, Matt. You must agree.
I do 100%. She actually said that flawlessly. I actually don't have anything to add. That was a flawless answer.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, I'd spent a lot of time down at Team Englewood with that crowd.
I worked there last year.
Did you? That's an interesting, interesting place. And, thanks a lot, Rom. You're going to close the school. Thanks a million. Mm-hmm. And further disenfranchise those people. Yeah. You know, I think you're so right that most people, and even now that the so-called mainstream media is talking about this stuff, it's, you know, the news cycle is such that it's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's gone in a day or two. Mm-hmm. And I think those children, especially the children in those places, the disenfranchised neighborhoods, feel it all the time.
Yeah, I would add with you saying that, I think that, and I can't speak to what it was like before I saw it for the first time last year, but I know just there's a bigger stage for these same things that have been being talked about forever to be talked about on a larger stage and maybe possibly get heard by people who need to actually be hearing what these youth are talking about and these stories that they're telling. So the stories, like she said, have not changed, but the platforms that are provided for them to be heard and told are changing. So, like, for example, there's going to be a group piece performed next Sunday at the Auditorium Theater about what you just mentioned, ROM closing schools, but dropping bread to open a police academy. You know what I'm saying? And that's a beautiful venue for that to be told in. You never know who show up, who's going to hear it, and they're going to hear the truth. And so that's what I think is happening with Louder Than a Bomb. The platform keeps getting bigger and bigger, and these same truths are being are given the opportunity to be heard by the people who need to hear them, who keep making these same silly mistakes and, you know, kind of ruining the city in some ways.
I totally agree with you. You read Kevin's, you know, the People's History of Chicago, you get that same that same message, and that message needs to be louder. Rahm is a big fan. I've seen him at a number of Louder Than a Bomb events, and but it may not be, it may not actually be he who needs to hear this, because I'm not sure things stay in the head of his. You know what I mean? I mean, he'll make, he'll show up and be there, and gotta be kind of not happy with Kevin Koval at this stage. But, you know, the whole fact of the closing of schools and the kids that you deal with as teaching artists, they're they're the people on the front lines of this, the people who we don't write about in the newspaper, the people who don't come in and have a radio show. Kevin's doing a good job and is the cornerstone podcast, but I think there is, and Louder Than a Bomb and Young Chicago Author is going to be a huge part of what I consider a new wave of activism, or at least a more, some of the people with the voices, some of the kids you teach will be able to figure out how to become part of that new wave of activism that is that is absolutely needed. We are going to take a break, get some news, then we're going to do nothing but talk about how you can go see Louder Than a Bomb. Matt Muse and Dominique James are teaching artists at the Young Chicago Authors, and we're going to talk about how great Kevin Koval is and how you have to. I think we've done a pretty good job. Now, if we haven't convinced you to go to a Louder Than a Bomb event,
go to it,
then you haven't really been listening. But we'll talk a little more about it after a few commercials and then some news. Welcome back. I have only a few more minutes with Matt Muse and Dominique James of Young Chicago Authors. They both teach together at Simeon. They are products of the Chicago public school system and graduates of different colleges, NIU and Howard. But they're the hosts, and I bet you guys will do a great job, of the Indy Finals of Louder Than a Bomb. Louder Than a Bomb, the poetry festival that is started in 2001 by Kevin Koval, who couldn't make it. He's probably, you know, the thing about Kevin, he worked so hard with his own work and Young Chicago Authors, and now that it's Louder Than a Bomb, I'm surprised he isn't wheeled around in a wheelchair. But you two are hosting the Indy Finals at the Logan Center, which is one of the great venues in Chicago, on Friday, March 16th at 7 o'clock. I'm going to ask you this question. So you two, and having known you for half hour, you two couldn't possibly be nervous about this. You're excited about it, right?
I'm definitely excited. A bit nervous. I'm new to hosting. Matt is a veteran host. I'm very new to it.
And a born performer, obviously.
Oh, of course. But I'm super excited. It's kind of addicting, like, being on stage and, like, seeing the poets. Like, it's a very, very great energy. And Indy Finals is actually a super cool event. It's different from kind of any of the other LTAP events, because any other thing you go to, it's all teams. Indy poets are scattered in between, but it's just you and yourself. Your team may be there to support you, but you are there performing by yourself. Thing,
you know, if your team is not there to support you, Young Chicago Author is doing something completely wrong.
We make them hold them down, though.
And you get a team in the audience.
Yeah, the audience is really supportive. Wow. Yeah, I'm not nervous. I'm excited, actually.
It's going to be super
fun. Yeah, it's going to be really, really nice. And I think this co-hosting thing, we co-hosted two bouts together today, too, at semifinals.
Yeah.
And it went really well. So I'm looking forward to what we can do.
When you teach, there is something inherently empowering about the whole nature of Young Chicago Authors. Mm-hmm. Do you teach individually or together when you teach?
Combination of both. So we both have our separate schools. So my individual school is Chicago Vocational Career Academy, yeah, and hers is Gwendolyn Brooks. But at Simeon, well, we
way south, yeah, those kids.
way south
with it. But at Simeon, we teach together completely. So both the in class, and then we also work with their poetry club together. Yeah. So we co-teach.
So we design the workshops together and teach them together.
Yep. I know you haven't been doing it long, but something that I have ever found in schools, especially in beleaguered neighborhoods, is giving young people the means to express themselves, whether it is about, literally, whether it's about the cute guy in Spanish class or the brother who was shot. Mm-hmm. To watch those kids come out of what must be a shell must be, you guys are young to be having that kind of, it must be almost overwhelming sometimes.
I think I was just talking to somebody about this like a week and a half ago. I think that our age is like perfect for them, because, and they were like, yo, like, do you like teaching in high schools? Like, wouldn't you prefer like a lower? I'm like, no, because I remember when I was in high school and there was older teachers, the way I was vibing, I'm like, y'all don't understand me. And I think that with us being the age we are, we both look younger too. So there's that sense of comfort, like, oh, these people may understand me. They talk like I talk. We have the same slang. We have the same, you know, way we carry ourselves. And I think that relates to them, which makes it, for me, it makes it very smooth. And it makes me feel like I have the power or the ability to connect with them and then hopefully give them that opportunity to express themselves through the workshops.
Well, and it's a nurturing thing, yeah, too. I mean, you were taking a in essence, a kind of lump of clay and trying to help mold that thing. That's a stupid analogy. Don't make any sense.
I don't think it's stupid. Yeah, I appreciate
it. It's not going to work in a poem or a rap.
No. The thing I like about it most is that, so you said, we are kind of empowering youth by giving them a voice, or like giving them a platform to share their voice. We're not giving them a voice. They already have one. We're giving them means to amplify it.
Yep.
Which is my favorite part. And so we oftentimes silence young people. Mm. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't have enough experiences. And then add marginalization on top of that. Mm-hmm. So you have this group of kids that are not only silenced, but also told that they have nothing important to say.
Yeah.
And so we give them the platform to share their truths. And for me, that is empowering, like, to be a facilitator of that. Just to experience it as a collaborator with the students. I am not necessarily overwhelmed, but I get motivated and inspired.
Yeah.
You two who spend a great deal of your spending time at CVS and Gwendolyn Brooks and living on the South Side and mm-hmm. working for Young Chicago Authors, you see firsthand the disenfranchisement of not just neighborhoods, mm-hmm. but therefore the people in those neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Could either of you express any hopefulness about the future of this city? Because I think you are dealing with, you know, I have a 13-year-old mm-hmm. who is a kind, wonderful person who I think will try to help make a better world. But you are seeing that too, are you not? Can you be hopeful?
I mean, obviously this is on brand with the conversation. So my first answer is yes, because LTAB is a huge example of how, you know what I'm saying? It's a perfect example of hope for the present. Forget the future. Like right mm-hmm. now.
Yep.
I think you look at a person like Dominique who came up through who came up through LTAB, and then, I mean, Dominique is so smart, first of all. And then secondly, you hear all the accolades that she didn't tell you, like, what she graduated with from Howard. But, like, she did it. You know what I'm saying? And then to express, yo, I thought about leaving, but I'm actually going to stay because I have work to do while also getting this degree at a school in the middle of the South Side. I think that there are so many more stories. One of our poets just got accepted to Spelman. Her name is Emily. And she's, like, so into what we're doing. And then there's that kind of, like, we're going, we're learning these things, we're coming up through Chicago, and we're going to keep giving back to Chicago. So I have a lot of hope for so, and even outside of LTAP, just in those schools, yes, there are gyms everywhere, and it's a ton of them. It's not like it's a unique thing or a small thing.
I'm
it's a
so
big
glad
thing.
You're saying
So I'm very, I have so much hope. That's why I do it. Like, I walk in them schools every day, like, yo, and tell them how great they are, you know, like, because I see the greatness in what they're doing.
I always kind of see YCA and Lavin Abam as a kind of experimental space or maybe a petri dish. And so you have, like, folks practicing out community, practicing out sharing their stories, practicing out supporting one another. And then you see it kind of just be a catalyst for other areas of their life. So I flourished in Lavin Abam and then consequently flourished in school.
Yeah.
And so you saw this, like... domino effect, and I think that gives me hope, seeing folks feel empowered, seeing folks feel successful, feel heard in this one area makes them want that feeling everywhere else. So if we can give them that platform, they'll look for it other places as well.
You two give me hope.
Thank you
two, Matt Muse, Dominique James, go home. You've been working for like Kevin Coble makes you work for 15 hours a day, but Kevin, you're doing something right. It's a pleasure to get to know you. I will explore your lives further and just wait to see what you do
for sure
with your remarkable talents. We'll be right
back. Thank you so much.
Thank you.